Exodus 4, 1 through 5. David is going to read Exodus 4, 10 through 14. Yes, David. Kata. Then numbers of scriptures, Colby, Exodus 3:11, Sean, Exodus 3:13, Anthony, Exodus 4:1, Will, Exodus 4:10, Dwayne, 1 Corinthians 1:26, John, 1 John 4:18. Robert is going to read 1 Samuel 10:21 and 22. Stephen, Luke 9:1. Gabe, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Freddie, Zechariah 4:6. Okay, we've been looking at the life of Moses, and what we're interested in is what is the path to destiny. And Moses, his whole life was destiny, the plans of God that were revealed at the burning bush. So we're looking at what is it either that God looks for, or what is it that God causes us to have to deal with in order to reach the potential and the calling that he has. So today we're going to look at a very important issue. He has just had the calling experience. Now he knows what it is that God has for his life. His response is fear. And so if we are going to accomplish the will of God, many of us, we have to overcome fear. This lesson is overcoming fear. Exodus 4, 1 through 5, and then 10 through 14.
Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is it that is in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it down on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it returned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you."
10 through 14.
Then Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So the Lord said to him, "Who has made the man's mouth, or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will make your mouth and teach you what to say." But he said, "O Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart.
Okay. Overcoming fear. Let's begin. Let's talk about the voice of calling. In this, I think it was the last lesson we looked at, is the burning bush. God reveals his plans. You are to deliver. You're going to go to Egypt, and you're going to bring deliverance to my people who are in slavery. That's incredible. An entire nation of people, you can change their lives, and you can please God and bring about the will of God. Those are great plans. That is awesome. But for Moses, that's not good news. He's not clicking his heels like, "Can you believe I just won the lottery? I just won destiny lottery." His response is he feels afraid. And he feels inadequate, which is, "I don't have that ability." The word fear, one of the meanings or manifestations of fear, it literally means to make small. If you are afraid, what you're really saying is, "I feel small. I don't feel big enough for the task." So God says, "Great news, I've got a plan for your life." And he says in his response, "I can't do what you're asking me to do. No, that's not going to be possible. I don't have what it takes." And that feeling of fear in this sense is the fear of being inadequate, not adequate. In other words, I am not enough. Whatever you ask me to do, I'm just not that guy. I don't have enough to get the job done. So fear. In fear, fear always focuses on ourselves. If we're talking about fear of inadequacy, obviously the fear here is not grizzly bears, right? Fear is focused on himself. Good news, Moses, I've got a plan for your life. And he begins to give God reasons, literally excuses, of why I can't do it. Every single one of these are focused on himself. Number one, he says, I'm not qualified, Exodus 3:11.
But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out from Egypt?
Okay, I'm not qualified to do what you're asking me to do. I don't know enough, Exodus 3:13.
And Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?
Okay, so what if somebody asks a question and I don't know the answer? So I don't know enough to get the job done. People won't believe me, Exodus 4:1.
But Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say, the Lord never appeared to you?
Okay, so people won't believe me. So in other words, I'm not going to have enough, kathud. I'm not going to be able to speak well enough that they will say, wow, that really happened. And then I lack the talent needed, Exodus 4:10.
Then Moses told the Lord, please, Lord, I'm not eloquent. I never was in the past, nor am I now since you spoke to your servant. In fact, I talk too slowly and have a speech impediment.
Okay, so speaking, this is a big deal. This is often, you know, the public speaking is rated higher than the fear of death. You understand that, how terrifying it is for some people. Moses, I'm sending you to Pharaoh, you're going to talk. He said, that's not good news at all. I got to stand up in front of people and talk. So that's a common. And then a final thing is somebody else could do it better, Exodus 4:13. Did I not give it?
Moses said, please, Lord, send somebody else.
Okay, so send somebody else. In other words, surely there has to be somebody more qualified than me. So in all of those, Moses is not saying, let's discuss who you are, God. Let's not discuss the need of the people. Everything is me. I can't speak. I'm not talented. I'm not able. Somebody else could do it better. It's always on us. And often, fear and inadequacy often has a root. I mean, you can naturally have fear. It fascinates me in looking at children. There are things that are innate and inbuilt. One child is naturally confident, one is not. But generally, this level of fear has roots. Meaning, there often are events in our life that we look back to, I tried, it didn't work. I spoke, it didn't go well, they didn't listen to me. I made a fool of myself. So those become the things that we focus on over and over again. God himself appears to Moses. Not one word here is about God, it's all about him. I can't do this. So fear is going to do that. So think about God. God deliberately chooses the fearful. So God, listening to this list, why didn't God go, you're right, let's put an ad on ZipRecruiter. You know, indeed, let's find a more qualified guy. No. Knowing that Moses had fears and inadequacies, he deliberately picks Moses, the one who feels fear. 1 Corinthians 1:26.
Well, you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called.
Okay, you're going to have to be honest here. It is rare that God calls somebody who is a high flyer, like super talented, super, they got it together. That actually is rare. Most that God calls are seriously flawed and often have a lot of fear. So, but God does that. Why would he choose the fearful? Why doesn't he choose the confident? Because the fearful will often depend on God and not themselves. If you think, I can't do this, you're probably not going to swagger into each ministry appointment going, yeah, I got this. It's probably going to drive you to God, which is good. That's a very good thing. And why does God choose the fearful? So that he receives the glory. Did I give 1 Corinthians 1:29? You got it? Yeah, go ahead.
That no flesh should glory in his presence.
Okay, I like it. I think this is a New Century Version. God did this so no one can brag in his presence. Right? So that's God. God is so awesome. I think I used one time in a sermon, the dream team and Michael Jordan and Larry Bird and Magic Johnson and all that. No one, if I was to ask you, there's probably not many of you would know who picked the dream team. Who put the team together? Well, we did. Oh, man, they were awesome. But God picks people like us. He doesn't pick the dream. Let's be honest. Come on. If you're honest, it's not like he's like, wow, man, we're going to wipe the floor with the devil with guys like this. He does that. So we say, God, you are awesome. Abraham Lincoln said, God must love common people very much because he made so many of them. All right. The voice of calling. Let's talk about the dangers of fear for a moment. Moses' response shows us what happens if you don't deal with fear. Okay, fear and inadequacy, more than anything else, can torment you. All these responses, when you read it in the Bible, it's like information. You're not getting the emotion of this. Moses is tormented by this idea. And because fear and inadequacy robs people. It's an inner voice that robs people of joy, of faith, and confidence. 1 John 4:18.
Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love.
Okay, I don't like that rendering, punishment. It actually, torment is actually the word. Fear has torment. And the idea of punishment is in there, but this is the problem. It literally means to be imprisoned or whipped or tortured. So people who have fear and inadequacy that they don't deal with, even if they say yes, but on the inside they're tormented. They're doing the job, but they're tormented because they think, at some point, somebody's going to find out. There's even a term for this in the business world. It's called the imposter syndrome. There are people that are tormented by fear that suddenly, in the middle of a meeting, people are going to go, why are you here? We should have picked somebody else. So they're doing the job, and sometimes they're doing the job very well and successfully. Doesn't matter. They're tormented on the inside. Fear is a demon spirit. That's why God did not give us a spirit of fear. It is a demon spirit. If you don't overcome fear, it will rob you. And I talk to pastors who they describe while preaching, the voice in their head is saying, this is stupid, no one is listening to you, it's not working, you should do something else in life. In every area of life, success doesn't change it. You learn that. That's why I spend so much time talking about rejection, which is fear. If you don't deal with that, it will taint everything good in your life. It's a torment. And then the second thing, of course, is fear or inadequacy keeps people from obeying. God says, go to Egypt. There are people, while they're having this conversation, there are people that are being beaten to death in Egypt. Moses is not heading to save them. He's delaying obedience. If someone's being beaten to death and you can do something about it, how you feel, your nerves, don't really factor into this. Right? Isn't it more important that you get on with a job to save them? But this is the problem with fear, is fear causes us to delay. Listen, here's a major mistake of fear. So we have different levels. All right, God tells us his will for our life. Of course, there can be people that say, absolutely not doing it, don't care. But that's rare. What many people do is, yes, I will do it, when I feel confident. Right? I'm not saying no, but right now, I'm not qualified, I'm not talented, there's other people who can do better. So I will. They're waiting for the day when they wake up and they go, man, I feel confident today. All right, God, today's the day I'm doing the will of God. That is actually never going to happen, because that's not what happens. Some run from the call of God. If you know what God wants you to do, but you run away from it, then there's no risk. You can't fail at what you don't do. That's how some guys look at it, right? If I'm not doing the will of God, I can't flop at the will of God. I can't be embarrassed. No one can ask me, hey, how's it going? Because I'm not doing it, right? So that's the answer. Many guys, let's just not do it. And they'll do that in many, many different forms, many different ways. 1 Samuel 10, 21 and 22.
When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Mephi was chosen, and Saul the son of Kish was chosen. But when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, has the man come here? Yeah. And the Lord answered, there he is, hidden among the equipment.
Okay, among the equipment or the baggage. This is Saul again. The call of God. Samuel the prophet anoints him, gives him a supernatural word for his life. And we're going to have, tomorrow morning is coronation day. Gather the people. We're going to announce you as king. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Saul. Saul, where is he? And God has to tell him he's hiding among the baggage. So fear is tormenting him. His answer is, I'm going to hide. Hiding among the baggage. That's the stuff you brought from home. That's what you're comfortable with. So there are guys, they hide behind their job. I'm good at this. If I do that, that is God's will, I might not be good. And then what happens if someone asks me, how's it go? So I'll just hide from the call of God. I have even seen through the years, I see guys that when God is putting his hand on their life, they actually sabotage themselves. They sin. My first reaction is like, how stupid was that? But then I get suspicious. I think that was actually deliberate, wasn't it? Because if you sin, no one's expecting anything of you, are they? But that's a form of hiding. You're going to go back to the old habits, back to the old sin, so you can hide. Then you're safe. And the root of that is fear. Moses was making excuses to God, which is often what people do, is they give God reasons. And they're very good sounding reasons. Some people refuse to do the will of God and they feel noble about doing that. Because what they're telling God is, I'm probably not good at that. I don't want to hurt anybody. I've had people tell me that. Look, Pastor, I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to damage anybody. I don't want to let anybody down, so I just won't do the will of God. As though we should clap, like, wow, that's awesome. You're just thinking of others. But you're not, it's just fear. Letting a demon run your life doesn't make sense. That's what fear does. You are letting a demon spirit tell you what to do. Not Almighty God. That's why fear must be dealt with. It is from hell. So you're exalting, you're saying this demon is more important than Almighty God. And I just would say that doesn't make sense. Last thought, overcoming fear. So how do you overcome fear and inadequacy? I think, number one, you need to ask God to heal you or deliver you, or both. But this is supernatural. God's promises to us are supernatural healing and deliverance. Luke 9, verse 1.
One day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases.
Okay, look at, there's the two elements that always have to be at work. He said authority over demons. Fear is a demon spirit. And to heal, of course this is physical, but often what has to happen in us is both of those things. Some of us, the reason why we have fear is because we have been wounded. Somewhere in the past, someone said, you're stupid. Right? There's voices from the past that have marked us. Well, you got to get healed of that. That creates wounds. There are people, they're angry today, but they're actually angry about something from the past. That needs a healing. Doesn't make sense for you to go with an unhealed wound. And then deliverance. If fear is a demon, Jesus says, I give you power. You can cast out all demons. If fear is a demon, cast it out. That's what has to happen. The second part, though, is you'll never overcome fear unless you surrender your pride. Fear and inadequacy is actually enthroning pride. Right? Our pride was hurt. That's rejection. So therefore, I am never, this is true for many men. The highest rule of life for many men is never look stupid. They fear looking stupid more than anything else. That's why women often don't understand. The reaction that they get from their husbands is because men are terrified of feeling and looking stupid. So they do everything in their power. That's why they freak out, because I don't ever want to feel stupid. So if your answer is, I won't try so that I never look stupid, then really you're actually putting your pride. That deal with a demon, but even if you deal with a demon, you still got to surrender your pride. The answer at the end of the day, you can only do the will of God if you surrender your pride. In other words, I leave how I look or what people think to God. That at the end of the day, you have to understand this. In life, that was a profound lesson that I had to learn personally. That is, I can't control. You understand, I'm not talking about that as a people skill. If you're a jerk, people think you're a jerk. You know, jerk is as jerk does, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the torment that people may not receive me, look down on me, all those kinds of things. You have to leave that with God. That's and the only way is God, whether I'm received or anything else, I am going to do your will. Thirdly, you have to believe God. Fear is unbelief, right? Almighty God said, you can do it. That's why I chose you. I'm going to help you. Go deliver. And he says, no. I'm afraid. So actually what you're saying is, I don't believe God. That's unbelief. Fear is a part of it. I refuse to believe that God can help me. Or that he knows what he's talking about when he picked me. So the answer to Moses' insufficiency is not Moses. God is so smart. In this story, when Moses, every response that Moses gives to God that's about him, God doesn't argue with him. You know, I can't do it. God is like, yes, you can. Because the answer is not us. I'm not qualified, God said, but I'll be with you. I don't know enough. I'll tell you. I'll help people believe you. What if people won't believe me? I'll give supernatural power. I lack the talent needed. I'm going to help you to do it. The answer is not us. That's why when you're waiting for the day that you wake up and you are powerfully confident, that's a mistake because you're not the answer. God is the answer. 1 Thessalonians 5:24.
God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful.
Okay, the one who calls you is faithful. Another translation, the one who calls you faithful, he will do it. That's if God asks me to do something and I don't feel confident in it, but he will help me. That's my confidence. My confidence isn't in Greg Mitchell. My confidence is in Almighty God. Zechariah 4, verse 6.
So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.
Okay, not by might. It's not by what you can do, not by power, but by my spirit. That's how the work of God gets done. It's all by God. Listen, God is not cruel. Some people have a wrong idea of God. They think that God, you know, he's in heaven laughing with the angels. Like, I told this guy he could do it. If God asks you to do it, you can do it. Not because of you, because of him. Final thought, you have to do what God told you, regardless of how you feel. I've made a statement many, many times through the years. I have spent my life doing things that terrify me. Because I made up my mind, I'm going to do the will of God. So how I feel about it is actually irrelevant. And you have to understand, God has asked me some things that they're not, it's a big deal. God only helps you as you obey. That's why when you're waiting to feel confident, that's a mistake. You do what God said, then he helps you. The children of Israel, God said, cross the Jordan. Flood tide, the water is raging. When did God do the miracle? Only when the priest stepped into the water. Not a second before. When they do what God tells them, then the miracle happened. That's what you have to understand. At the end of the day, until you do what God tells you to do, you're never going to know supernatural power. And you got to understand. I'm telling you from personal experience. You know, when my father told me that he had prayed and he wanted me to take over the fellowship, that was not good news to me. Okay, that wasn't like, yeah, I finally arrived. I thought, oh, crap. Okay, I believe you. You're a man of God. I believe that he heard from God. But I want to tell you, that was tormenting to me. That was not good news at all for all of the reasons that we're talking about here. I had to face. But I said, I'm going to do the will of God. Doesn't matter. And I've spent my whole life, everything, whether that's, you know, from witnessing to street preaching, to concert altar call, leading an outreach, Bible study assistant, Bible study leader, preaching in the concert, going on staff, pioneering, going overseas, taking churches, you just step up to another level. There's something else that makes me afraid, but I'm going to do the will of God. You have to do that. And God can help people who lack confidence if they will trust him, deal with the issue, but ultimately, if you have to do it. A story I've told is when I began to be interested in preaching, I thought back as a boy at a two-story house. We lived on Chaparral Drive, and I used to come down as a boy on Sunday morning, and I would hear from the office my dad preaching his sermon, but he whispered. You know, and so I would hear from the office this sound. That's how I would hear it. I just, you know, What do I know? I thought everybody did that. So later on, when I started wanting to be a good preacher, I remembered my dad whispering, and I thought maybe whispering is the magic key to being a good preacher. So I asked him, I said, Dad, remember when I was a boy and I used to hear you whispering your sermon? Like, why'd you do that? And I'm ready to type the brilliant answer. He looked at me like I was an idiot. He said, because I had no confidence. You have to understand, my grandma, my dad's mom, ran off when he was 5 years old. He's raised by his father, who did the best he could, his sisters, shuttled from house to house. His dad died in his arms when he's 16. Had to kind of move around, get through life. He said, I absolutely had no confidence at all. So think about this. Revival's happening, but he didn't feel that he was adequate. Meanwhile, he's preaching. Lives are being changed incredibly. People probably to this day would remember sermons that he... But on the inside, how he felt... So that's actually very encouraging, isn't it? Is God can help the fearful. You can overcome that. My dad didn't have to do that for the rest of his life. He was at 90 still whispering. Right? If you do the thing you fear, the death of fear is certain. But you have to obey God. Good. Okay. Let's open for questions then.
How do you learn to maintain confidence and composure when very discouraging setbacks happen?
Well, number one, I don't know anybody who you will never maintain confidence as meaning every day of your life you're going to feel confident. As I say, even if you do things fantastically, God will ask you something else that's harder. That's one level. The second thing is that things don't work in life. You're not going to win. I can't promise any of you that you're going to win every time. That's part of manhood. Manhood is I do right regardless of how I feel. That's why in 1 Corinthians it says, act like men. Act like men. What would a man do in this situation? I'm feeling down. Instead of laying in bed under the covers, sucking my thumb, I get up, I function. That's manhood. You don't act on your emotions. That's a crucial factor. Wait.
What happened to the man Moses who, at one point, he's actually willing to fight for a Jew?
Yeah.
And then 40 years later, he wants no part of that. So what happened to him?
Yeah, that's failure marks people. Yeah. Failure... If you're not careful, you can let failure fundamentally change you in unhealthy ways. Yeah, so a man who was confident absolutely lost confidence because of his failure. Yeah, that's the power of failure if you don't process it correctly. Yeah. It has that power.
Sometimes God allows to get to the point that we feel inadequate and fearful. I feel like
Yes, feeling fearful is good for you. That's not, the devil tries to make it demonic. But feeling fear is actually good for you. The idea of fear is that it drives you to God. So that's a good thing. You got to process that correctly. You know, no fear t-shirts are stupid. The only people who don't have fear are drunk people. Right? Or crazy people. Fear is good. It's actually healthy. It drives you to God. So, but that's a process. At some point, you know, there are times in my life where my head was as big as Texas. So God said, "You need the ministry of the pin. Let me poke it." There are other times where you are absolutely lacking confidence, and God said, let's get the confidence bicycle pump out. That's the way life is. God is so smart, he'll give us whatever we need at any given time. And it will never be. Life is ups and downs. What did he say? The promised land is a land not like you found before. It's a land of mountains and valleys. And that's life. It's variety. Serving God is variety. Yep.
So in 2 Corinthians 12:8, when he tells Paul that his power works best in weakness, because Paul's asking to remove the thorn, you know, from his side or whatever condition he had.
Yeah.
How do you find the balance between, you know, being weak enough that God's going to help you and give you strength, but also being confident in what you're doing as well? Like, what's the balance in that?
What was the first one?
So, I was just thinking about the scripture when he told,
when
he told Paul that his power works best in weakness.
Yeah, you know, my strength is perfected in weakness. Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of saying, like, when you're weak, God can use you more, but well, then you also want to be confident, right?
Yes, but again, that's stages. So you have to understand that there are, I just shotgunned through my life of fears, okay? You know, witnessing. First time I went, that was fear. And then street preaching, then preaching at a concert, Bible study assistant, leader, etc. So what happens is new challenge, new fears. All right? So, but then you trust God, you do what's right. So then you get better at it. When I first started preaching in the concert, my mouth would get so dry, it'd be like, but that you get better at it. All right, okay, now I'm confident in this concert preaching thing, but then it's like pioneering, and then taking a church. So you get good at something, you get confident at something because God helps you, and then he'll ask you something else. The new stage brings new fear. The answer is always the same. My confidence is in God. I rely on God. I seek God. You always are doing that. But then you do it, you get better at it. You know, I get a very common question. I'm wherever I preach in the world, is someone will ask me, do you get nervous before you speak? It's like, no, I don't. Public speaking doesn't bother me. In general, it doesn't bother me. It never has, in large part. I've always been able. That's the ability to fake it. There is something in life, you put on your game face.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter how I feel. I can fake it. That's not being a hypocrite. That's just... It doesn't help you. Like, oh my God, I don't know why they picked me to choose this, do the lesson in serious bit. That doesn't give anybody confidence, right? But so you get confident, God asks something else, which causes you. And then there are times where there are major crises and course corrections. And that's, as I say, there are times where I get overconfident, and God says, "You let me help you." And trouble comes. It's like, oh my God, I can't do this. Like, of course you can't do this. You just needed to see it. So, my strength is made perfect in weakness, yes. Humility is not telling everybody you're a worm and I don't know why they picked me. It bothers me when guys, we're invited to do something, to preach, to sing, and they tell the audience of why, I don't know why they picked me. And sit down, we'll get somebody else if you believe that. That's not humility. Humility is just honest recognition of the facts. I can't do this. You sometimes hear me pray in the morning, God, we confess we need you. This is a work of God and not of man. I do not have confidence in the flesh, which is me. My confidence is in you. So those are things you come back to again and again.
I've spent most of my life avoiding feeling afraid of doing stuff. So I just do what I know I can do.
Yeah.
And recently, since like God's been really
I'm dealing with the moving in my life. I've been intimidated to keep going forward. So you're saying that intimidation is kind of a signal of possibly doing the right thing, feeling that fear of like, okay, well, yeah. I'm going to do it for years.
If you have no fear in life, then you're not challenging yourself.
Hmm.
Right? You're but you got to also understand that I mean, and there's a personality issue, but you know, I think of some of the stupid things I did as a kid, and like, I think I can make it. Right? But the exhilaration when you did it,
yeah.
You're terrified. I remember, you know, standing on the rocks at Willow Lake, like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. And then you jump, and like, yeah, ministry's like that. So part of it, you gotta face your fear, but I'm telling you, the exhilaration when you do what God told you to do,
yeah.
You'll never know that unless you the only way to do it is to do it.
Yeah.
To try it, you know, the gifts of the Spirit. There's somebody here like, oh God, please let it be. And then it's like, it worked.
Yeah.
And you pray for somebody in front of everybody and it worked. The exhilaration. So yeah, if you never feel fear, that's probably because you're jumping over 2-inch heights. You know, you gotta get on the cliff sometimes. You gotta stretch yourself. So that's a good thing. Yeah. But you have to understand, do you know why I do Serious Man? Is because I want you to feel that exhilaration of doing the will of God.
Yeah.
I know the rush that comes. It is, doing the will of God is the most terrifying, but is the most exciting thing in all the world. And I want you to experience that. The point of discipleship is not, let me tell you what I did one day. Be an old man. I ever take by the tie? Yes, Grandpa, you know. I want you to feel that. And the only way to do that is you got to do stuff that scares the crap out of you. That's the only way to do it, man. It's good fun.
That's great.
Yep.
Before I was saved, I foolishly rushed into things that should have made me fear all the time. You know, all kinds of things. We won't get into details. But now, as a Christian, it's like, oh, but, you know, maybe some wisdom here, some tact. Are there things where you feel fear and you shouldn't jump in, you know, pray about it, ask God, is this what you're really wanting me to do?
Yeah,
you know,
sure. But that's
not necessarily ministry related every time, but just things that you're feeling.
Yeah, that's common sense. That's common sense. But if you're not doing anything that is beyond you, you don't need faith. Mm-hmm. Right? There are some people, they actually don't need God because they're not doing anything that they need God for. They organize their life. It's safe. It's secure. It's comfortable.
Yeah.
It's not challenging. So, you know, there's common sense, of course. Common sense is a wonderful tool that we ask advice. We seek, does this balance with the Word of God?
Yeah.
But there needs to be an element of you that I'm going out on the limb here. And if you don't have anything like that in life, the best way, though, is you test those things in ways that, you know, it's not like, you know, honey, I sold the house, we're going to live under a bridge. Like, why? I'm just going to try it, you know. That's radical, life-changing, you probably are not going to survive the night, you know, from your wife. But there are things that you, I still remember, you know, Brandon Pepich was the only one I've ever had to fire. So I fired him, and then he kind of nosedived for a while, and I remember, I had just come back from a trip, church picnic, I looked at Brandon in the eye, just by the Spirit of God, I said, Brandon, God hasn't given up on you. You've got a supernatural touch. And so, for him, he began praying for the sick. He would call me from Walmart. Pastor Greg, I just prayed for this guy. This lady just got out of a wheelchair. So, you know, that's pretty ballsy to pray for somebody in a wheelchair in Walmart, right?
Yeah.
So, testing God in that way, then when you come to crucial things, I'm selling the house, you know, yeah. it makes more sense.
Right.
What gets people in trouble is they want to be Smith Wigglesworth by this afternoon, but they've never even stepped out and witnessed as somebody that scares them. Mm. You know what I mean? So yeah. there's common sense in the process as well.
Okay.
Yep.
Pastor, do you think that sometimes we can fear things like, you know, for me, I'm just barely starting to learn how to witness to people. Right?
Yep.
Before the preaching, like we had this discussion before. But I think some of my fears is that someone is going to challenge, you know, God's knowledge of what they think. And what their belief is, and all that kind of thing, which has been happening too.
Sure.
In all different parts, like yesterday, I was at the laundromat, this guy said that he was Christian, and you know, once saved, always saved, no matter what, alcohol's coming out of his breath, I can smell it, you know. But he's also throwing all these things, and I'm like, hey, James, this and James, I'm like, I don't know what, I haven't been in that book yet, you know, I'm barely in deep.
Mm.
I had to find a way not to. Debate, argue, you know,
you
can't talk to
them,
but still, it's like,
challenge. Yeah. So those are obviously there will be challenges that we can't answer because that's in their heart, right? Mm. But in that kind of thing, do you think he's happy being a drunk?
No, he actually said no, he's not happy.
That's right, and so that's the point: is people who they cling to once saved, always saved, because of their sin or because they feel like a loser for still battling, but they're not happy about it. It's not like, yeah, wake up in the morning, like, oh yeah. Is they feel shame for the way they are. So debating scripture is not the answer. You're not happy the way you're living. But you have something powerful in that instance, don't you? And you have a testimony. You say once they've oh, but Jesus set me free, and he can do that for you. So it doesn't have to be a debate on scripture. You have testimonies. A man with an experience is no match for a man with an argument. For a man with an argument is no match for a man with an experience. You have an experience that's always powerful. So, I don't know is an acceptable answer. Our fear is that we have to know, well, actually, let me show you another scripture in the original Greek. That's not going to solve it. You don't have to do that. I don't know is an acceptable answer. People ask, well, what about the dinosaurs? I have no clue. But you're living with guilt and shame. Jesus can set you free. What about James? No idea. But you're not happy the way you're living. Jesus can set you free. He did it for me. So it's a mistake to think that we have to have every answer. That's what Moses said. What if they ask me? What if they say? What's his name? I don't know. So those are common fears. Good, somebody else.
So you said that fear is healthy. Like just to know how much direction you're going in. How do you know when you're fearing it?
You're fearing way too much if you are constantly tormented, and you are fearing way too much if you're not doing what God wants you to do. That's when you know. So now you're letting fear dominate. So to have fear, I don't know anybody who doesn't have fear. Like I said, drunk people are the only people who have no fear. But I'm not going to witness because I'm afraid. That's not acceptable. I'm afraid, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's the answer. You overcome it, yeah? And then, of course, people, I can't sleep at night, I'm tormented. Then that's a sign that there's too much fear. Yep. Very good. Okay.